that by working together, we can win the first war of the 21st century. And that is the war of cold-blooded killers against cold-blooded killers. The first war of the 21st century. Cold-blooded killers against cold-blooded killers.
The human mind is like a computer. No matter how efficient it may be, its reliability is only as great as the information fed into it. If it is possible to control the input of the human mind, then no matter how intelligent a person may be, it's entirely possible to program what he will think. And yes, it's even possible to program people to laugh at the mere mention of the word conspiracy.
Using television as the prime example of how mental programming and mind control works, television is the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. And yet, television, for many people, is a member of the family in the household.
There's a movie called Loose Change that asserts hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans colluded to kill their fellow citizens on 9/11. That Al-Qaeda didn't attack us. We essentially attacked ourselves. This fairy tale ranks up there with the Holocaust deniers on the vicious scale.
There has been a long-held consolidation of ownership of the different medias, press, publishing, film, music, television, consolidated ownership into the hands of very few individuals, the multinational corporations. Today, there are a half a dozen multinational corporations that are controlling the information and entertainment choices that people have.
The truth of the matter is that increasingly what we see, what we hear, and what we read is being controlled by fewer and fewer large multinational corporations.
People don't appreciate this. You know, in the last days of the Soviet Union, you had dozens of newspapers, dozens of magazines, all kinds of radio and television stations. The only problem is that all of that media was controlled by the Communist Party of the Soviet Union or the government of the Soviet Union. We are moving in that direction.
There is an illusion of choice that's maintained when you can have 100 channels on your cable system, and how many movies did the studios release a year now? All these different studios, and the music industry with so many labels, and magazine stands that go on and on and on forever. Well, the owners are a handful, five, six different companies.
90% of the top cable channels are owned by the same giants that own the TV networks and the cable systems. More channels are great, but when they're all owned by the same people, cable doesn't advance localism, editorial diversity, and competition. And those who believe the Internet alone will save us from this fate should realize that the dominating Internet news sources are controlled by the same media giants who control radio, TV, newspapers, and cable.
Okay, we say we've got freedom of press in this country, and some folks have said that you've got freedom of press as long as you own it. Well, who owns the media? And when I say that, I mean it not literally, but as far as who controls the information that goes out in the media. An example, NBC is owned by General Electric. And General Electric is one of the top 10, if not top 5, defense contractors. Is NBC going to expose a news story that might in some way impede a contract negotiation, which can mean a lot of money for General Electric? I don't think so. So the point here is that we have elected officials, both Republicrats and Demopublicans, that cater to who? Certainly not the common people. We don't have the huge amounts of money to contribute to their election campaigns. The people that contribute the most amount of money are the corporations. And so that representative or senator is going to do what is going to be in the best interest of those corporations. So if the corporations are controlling and influencing our elected officials, we must also take a look at the mainstream media. Who pays the bulk of the advertising dollars that keep the mainstream network news going? It's the major corporations. So what we have now is we have corporate control of elected officials, corporate control of the media. And this is why some people are now calling it the corporate Borg, because they have assimilated several different areas of our entire society. The corporations control agriculture, technology, manufacturing, industry, education, communication. They control our elected officials. This is not a government of, by, and for the people. It is a government of, by, and for the corporation. And by definition, when business controls government, that is inescapably fascism.
Now, there are two primary means by which people are manipulated and controlled. One is very simple, very basic, and that is simply the control of information. And the control of, if we don't have all of the facts on any particular topic, then our judgment is going to be no better than the quality of our information.
America forms its opinions by information that's provided to them. And common sense will tell you that if the information that you get from your mainstream media is misinformation or disinformation or even a lie, then common sense will tell you that the opinion is an extension of the lie. Now, unfortunately, America, and indeed the rest of the world, is getting information that's being massaged, it's being spun, it's being prepared for them for consumption.
Television is a massive, massive mass hypnotist to the global mind. And what happens is, it is implanting a belief in reality by the minute. And then, once we take on that belief implanted, when information enters the eyes, we edit it on the basis of that belief. And so, what the global population is suffering from, is actually, literally, mass hypnosis. And when we talk about people who kind of start to see things and see the manipulation they couldn't see before, what do we say about them? What do they say about themselves? They say, I woke up. Exactly what they've done. When people start to go, hey, I can see it now, it's like someone has gone along, like the hypnotist, and clicked their fingers, and it's like, oh, I can see it now. Mass hypnosis. And that is the greatest hypnotist on the planet, and that's the basis of why it was created.
People think that hypnosis is some mysterious, esoteric thing, and it's not. It's just simply a mental transaction in which a person has focused their attention, they've stopped being critical, and they're more open to suggestion. If someone is looking for people to hypnotize, they know that 85 out of 100 are going to be able to go into some level of trance.
Hypnosis is a natural way of inducing a trance-like state, and we all have the ability to enter into trance.
At many times during every day of our life, we slip into trance-like states where we become absorbed in watching the television.
The first order of business for a propagandist or an advertiser is to create the circumstances that will induce a state of mind that is favorable to the reception of their message. And that state of mind is the hypnotic state of mind, making television extremely important in this whole process of creating a unified mindset among the entire population. Have you ever bought something and then later on wondered why did you buy it? Well, that's a common everyday illustration of being triggered to make a purchase based on a conditioned response that has been built into us to have a preference for a particular product. And there's really no difference between the two. One's selling products, the other is selling ideas. The whole point is to build into us a conditioned response where we will respond automatically without thinking, with a preference for a particular idea or preference for a particular product. If you think about it, whenever you hear news broadcasters speak, you realize that their speech pattern is similar to the pattern speech of a hypnotist. The news broadcaster looks directly into the camera and into the eyes of the viewer. Another hypnotic technique.
Terror experts are working around the clock to head off any new attempt to attack America. And they're concerned that in the not-so-distant future, terrorists could easily blend in with the U.S. population. Bob Warnow on Al-Qaeda's latest tactics.
U.S. officials are increasingly worried that the next attack on America could be carried out by Americans trained in terror.
The report that will be released here in Washington tomorrow. It concludes that homegrown terrorism is on the rise in this country, and one of the most significant contributing factors remains the internet.
But my question for you is this, real quick, Rob. I heard that on the 17th of this month, George passed an executive order that says you can, if you protest the Iraqi war, you can have your assets.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry to cut you off. Balloon Town, Connecticut.
You ever heard that phrase, everyone knows that, mate? Well, why does everyone know that? Well, it's because this system is controlled by what I call repeaters. They're people in the situations of power and influence who just repeat what someone else tells them. A doctor is repeating what they were told at medical school and what the drug companies tell them. You've got teachers who repeat what they learned in their exams and what they learned at teacher training college, and they repeat that to the next generation. And the great repeaters are what pass for journalists. This is that area outside Parliament where they stand there doing their pieces to camera, telling people what's going on. Here we have the crews waiting for the journalists to come across from Westminster and stand there and tell them what's happening in the world. The fact is, they don't know what's happening. They know nothing. So this is what they should be saying if they were telling the truth. Now over to Westminster for the latest news from David Icke. Thank you, you. Well, I've got to be honest, mate. I haven't got a clue what's going on. I'll tell you what my job is, right? I wear a dark suit, not normally, but, you know, I'm playing here. And I come over from there, and I tell you what they've told me is going on. And I deliver it as if I know what's going on, and it's really true. I've got a clue if it's true. But they tell me, and they wouldn't lie, would they? I mean, would Tony Blair lie about what's really happening? Would George Bush, please? I'm a journalist, trust me. And so, what we call news, you, what you get paid a lot of money for reading autocue about, is merely propaganda that they have told me and I tell you. David Icke, BBC, ITN, CNN, CBS, Sky News, Westminster.
You might want to ask yourself why the entire culture is utterly saturated with mass media entertainment from all sides, while the educational system in America continues its stupefying downward slide since the U.S. government decided to take over and subsidize the public school system.
What your government pays for, it gets. When we understand that, then we look at government-financed institutions of education and see the kind of students and the kind of education that's being turned out by these government-financed schools. Logic will tell you that if what is being turned out in those schools was not in accord with what the state and the federal government wanted, then it would change it. The bottom line is that the government is getting what they have ordered. They do not want your children to be educated.
You think the purpose of education is reading, writing, and arithmetic? The purpose of education is to change the thoughts, actions, and feelings of students. Hitler wanted to control the education system in Germany. Stalin did in Russia, Mao Zedong in China. You have to get a hold of the minds of the young, where you break the person's values. You break their understanding of their individuality. You bring them to consensus with the group. They become a member of the collective. It's Soviet education, basically. Those might as well say it. It's Soviet education. You cannot expect to have a smoothly running world socialist system if you have people out there who are going to object to what you're trying to do. So you have to brainwash.
If you sat around a table and you said, right, what we need to do is we need to find some way of getting young people to see the world the way we want them to see it, so that by the time they become adults, they are completely following the reality we want them to believe in. Someone might say, well, they might not have it like, but you know the ideal thing? What we do is we have a system where we take children away from their parents at least 5 days a week, all day, from about the age of 4 and 5, and we have control of their minds until they're about 17, 18. That would be ideal. Well, of course, that's what happens. Yeah. It's called the education system.
Yes.
And it's indoctrination.
Schooling is a form of adoption. You give your kid away to a group of strangers. You accept a promise, sometimes stated and more often implied, that the state, through its agents, knows better how to raise your children and educate them than you, your neighbors, your grandparents, your local traditions do, and that your kid will be better off so adopted. By the time the child returns to the family or has the option of doing that, very few want to. Their parents are some form of friendly stranger too, and why not? In the key hours of growing up, strangers have reared the kid. Now let's look at the strangers, of which you were one and I was one. Regardless of our good feeling toward children, regardless of our individual talents or intelligence, we have so little time each day with each of these kids, we can't possibly know enough vital information about that particular kid to tailor a set of exercises to that kid. So what we do is accept, and of course if we don't accept this, we're fired or harassed, we accept a state's prescription that's written in manuals. You do this first and this second and this third, and the way the state checks on whether you've followed that diet is there's standardized tests given at intervals. If your kids do badly, it does not mean that they're bad readers or anything else. It means that they haven't been obedient to the drills the state set down, and they're marked for further treatment later on, or they're marked to be excluded from responsible jobs. Perhaps some ways by being excluded from the colleges that lead to responsible jobs, in other ways from the licenses that lead to responsible jobs. This was all worked out. It didn't evolve by a lot of rational people saying, we'll take this, this, and this from the past, then the next generation will take this, this, and this. This was set down largely in a handful of places.
I think it's important to understand that most of the educational programs that are implemented in the United States stem from the National Education Association. And the NEA was actually founded by John D. Rockefeller. And John D. Rockefeller, I think, voiced the beliefs of this ruling elite that wants to try to homogenize our education system when he was quoted as saying, I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. So I think the education system is not only pushing people into a socialized version of government, but also dumbing the individual down to the point to where he'll be a good worker in the factory, or he'll be a good worker at in Silicon Valley. He may know a lot about computers, but he is not going to have a classic education that would allow him to take all of the facets of the culture and the society and put it together and really form an intelligent opinion as to what's really going on and what might be in the best interest of the individual.
Now let's shift to the basis of your question, which is Rockefeller and Carnegie and J.P. Morgan. These people saw a different kind of utopia. They thought that this material abundance, since they had abandoned a belief in a creator or an afterlife. This material abundance was the best that a human life could aim for. And to do that, the family had to be moved off center stage, and the children had to be processed like raw materials. These are the people who saw to it with their influence that when legislation that was wildly radical based on any past model was proposed, that the right legislators would vote that legislation through. They saw to it that money was available to build these vast piles of brick and stone and to drain children out of the community by the force of law, mind you, because they don't teach the way children learn, nor can they teach the way children learn. That's not what they're set up to do. They're set up to produce a predictable, homogenous, safe product. They're set up to sort people into occupational categories, roughly consonant with what the current economy demands.
The whole system, because we have two hemispheres of the brain, the left brain, which is about words and this world reality and, you know, the perception of this reality. We have the right brain, which is where you get creativity, inspiration, and connection. And then you've got this corpus callosum, which connects the two. Mm-hmm. First of all, we use a fraction of our brains. Why is that? And the other thing is that what the system does is it turns out left brain prisoners. They run the system. Mm-hmm. And it does it by putting information through schools and colleges and universities into the left brain, which it then says at time of an exam, give me all that back, and if you tell me what I've told you well enough to believe, then you'll pass the exam and you'll be very successful. Mm-hmm. Anyone that takes that information into the right brain and puts their spin on it, or questions it, or sees through it, and puts that in the exam, they are perceived as a disruptive influence in the classroom.
Yes, yes, they are.
And so what happens is, for you to become a doctor, overwhelmingly a politician, mm-hmm. a journalist, someone often in industry, all these areas that control the system.
The professions.
Yeah. Lawyers.
Yes.
I mean, on and on we go. You have to have gone through your young life constantly taking information into your left brain and regurgitating it out on exam papers. To become a teacher, you have to go through that process. Then you go through teacher training college where you're taught how to do it to others, and then you let loose on the children.
Yes.
The whole system is run by left brain prisoners. And if you look at the school system, things like music and art that stimulate this side of the brain, the uniqueness, they are constantly cut back in favor of left brain curriculums. Mm. And this is systematic. I have to get this over to people. This is not systematic at the level of, you know, people who administer it into reality. It is coldly calculated in the shadowy areas where these concepts first come from.
Yeah.
And they know what they're doing.
A lot of the constraints on us, a lot of the strings that hold us like puppets, are really inventions of our own mind. I'm not saying that there aren't armies and police and various ways to punish deviants, but there isn't any way to punish a large number of deviants. There isn't any way to do that. It's too expensive to even try to do it unless you can colonize the minds of children growing up so they become their own police, and they will report other children who are deviating.